Since I was a child, I've had chronic asthma, and today I was totally healed, 100%. New set of lungs from God.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now then, I want us to go through some things here concerning receiving from Jesus. Let's look. I just want to do it all.
Go ahead.
I will read this quickly from Matthew chapter 4. You can turn there if you want to. But we are going to be going into, look at the 13th verse. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Home. I wanted to give you absolute scriptural foundation for this. He moved. He never did set up his headquarters in Nazareth. There's too much unbelief there. They ran him out of town. That's not the reason he moved to Capernaum. He moved to Capernaum, which is on the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. That's the only reason he did anything. He found himself in the book of Isaiah. You know, we saw yesterday from the 4th chapter, he said, he opened the book to the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And you'll notice references to him in the book of Isaiah. In that day, his burden shall be removed and be destroyed because of the anointing. Then it says, and the stem that comes out of Jesse. Amen. So Isaiah is a primary prophet. He's in every book of the Bible. But Isaiah is a primary prophet concerning the Messiah. Jesus found himself there.
Found himself in the book.
Yeah. And somebody went, well, Brother Copeland, he always knew. No, he didn't always know. He came as a man. He had to learn. Now, he started learning really early. He knew more by the time he is 12 than I'll ever know. Until quite some time from now. Amen.
Much later.
Yeah, much later. But he was limited, as every other man is limited, to what is in the book. He had to go there and find it. He had to be led by the Spirit of God. He didn't have this memorized. Are you listening to me now? He had to learn. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in stature. Praise God. He's just as much the Son of God.
Didn't say he found in the book where it was written?
Yeah.
He found it.
Lo, I come in the volume of the book. And he's just as much the Son of God when he's 29 as he was when he's 30. But he couldn't do anything until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You couldn't do anything till you was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
It also says he could there do no mighty work because of unbelief.
Because they're unbelief. He's being bound up just...
That would be true of our unbelief too. We can't have unbelief. It's terminal sometimes to have unbelief.
Yeah.
If you want Jesus to move, we got to have faith.
Hang on to this, will you?
Pardon me. I got carried away. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Now, chapter 5, book Mark. Thank you, Lord. They came over onto the other side of the sea, other side of the Galilee. Now, the area of the Gadarenes is directly straight across the Galilee from Capernaum. You can see it across there. It's not very far. It's not a sea, it's a lake. it's quite a nice sized lake, big lake, but you can see over there. You can see the other side. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Only one unclean spirit. This is a ruler of the darkness of this world. From Ephesians chapter 6. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces.
In other words, he broke the chains, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was...
So, that demon empowered him. I don't think this man was very big at all. He didn't sleep. He was a cutter. He bled a lot. I expect he's skin and bones. And so it would look like to everybody else, well, just chain him up. Look at the guy nearly dead now. That demon had come on him. That demon did on him what the Spirit of God did on Samson.
Well,
I don't think Samson was all that big a man. Because had he been, they'd have been more frightened of him. But and you know, all they had to do is cut his hair, and he was a weak man. I don't think he's very big. I don't think he's a great big guy. It had a deceiving effect on the people that saw this man, because he's just, you know, he's a little emaciated. He'd probably been a sizable man when he was healthy, because these kind of things don't just come instantly. Now, he had an unclean spirit. He dwelt among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he didn't sleep. That's the reason people in the area thought he was supernatural. Well, it was being done supernaturally. Of course, they didn't understand anything like this. And he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He was a cutter. Now, if anybody in this building or anybody watching on BVOVN or anybody watching on network and now or times in the past that you've been driven by the devil to mutilate, to cut yourself. Even if you've been free from it, but it still nags at you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break your power, you mutilating demon, in Jesus' name. Stop it. Take your hands off of God's property right now, saith the Lord Jesus. That person belongs to me, saith Jesus. You take your hands off of her, Satan. You take your hands off of him, Satan. And anybody contemplating suicide right now, I break the power of suicide spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Free!
What you have to remember about the devil is he's a liar. And anything he tells you is not going to be the truth. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's what this is for, Gloria. Keith, you remember how Brother Hagin used to be about microphone? He'd get to talking, he'd get to pointing with it. And Buddy would run up there and do the, oh, yeah, okay. And he said, I remember in 1952 when I was preaching a meeting down in the western part of the state of Oklahoma, and they brought a woman in there in a wheelchair that hadn't walked in 4 years. And I, you know, and Buddy said, thank God when they got lavaliers. Amen. Yeah. That woman. Yeah, that woman. I love her.
I've been together with this man a long time.
57 years next month.
57. Think about it. One man, 57 years.
Next week.
Next week.
Next Saturday, glory to God. Where in the world was it?
Here,
oh yeah, healing. Okay. Verse 7, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? This is that demon. Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus had already said to him. So let's rearrange that a little bit. Jesus said, when he saw him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Then that demon said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, torment me not. Jesus asked him, what is your name? He answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. The devils besought him saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea where there's about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had been done there. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They didn't understand any of this. This place was controlled by fear. Now, there is such a thing that's called in the demon world. It's a witchcraft term, a human chalice. It is human beings that do their best, I've seen this, do their best to get all the devils they can to come in. Now, a controller will use that human chalice. A witch controller or a warlock controller will use that human chalice. In one of our meetings many years ago out there at Will Rogers, John was just a young boy, about 9 years old. And, I'm telling you, the place got into such turmoil. It was so upsetting in there. Of course, at the time, I didn't know what it was. I knew it was the devil. I didn't know the process. That there was a woman sitting right behind her chalice. And this, she was using her, channeling that woman. And that service was in chaos. There was a thunderstorm that came up right over the building because a friend of mine that was flying in there for the meeting, and he was late getting there, and approach control told him, he said, there, and then the airport's just a little ways from there, and he said, you know, we've got a single thunderstorm there that's just right over the airport, and it may be a while before you can land. The Spirit of God came on me, and it was just an attacking spirit. And I took authority over that thing in the name of Jesus and broke its power. Now, people that were sitting around those people watching her do this, I mean, you know, I'm talking about 95% of the people in there were believers. I mean, this was part of our what turned later to be Super Sunday meetings, and like this meeting, mostly believers. So it was very obvious to people what was going on there. This one person told me, said, when you did that, that woman said, come back, come back, come back.
When you cast it out.
When I cast it out, I broke its power. It quit. And she's trying to get him back. That place settled down. That woman jumped up to run, ran out. I'm talking about the handler. The other little girl, she don't know what's going on. She's kind of a zombie. I believe she was delivered. I never had any evidence of that. That woman stormed out of there. John had just come out of the men's room. She flat ran over him. Just ran slap over him. He said, Daddy, he said, that crazy woman run plumb over me. Well, yeah, she's getting out of there as fast as she could. She's losing everything she's got. My friend called me. He said, Kenneth, I knew when it happened something's going on. He said, I made the turn to head over to Meacham, and suddenly that thunderstorm was not there. It didn't drift away. It just disappeared. That's what happened out here that day. Amen. Now listen. Now I'm headed for something that is huge here today. Verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to your friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now here's the point of this. Here's a man possessed with a ruler. Now this was not after the cross. But of course, Jesus is there. It's 3,000 to 6,000 demons in him and around him. Stand still. Oh, thou healing preacher. For those listening on CDs, Gloria is standing right next to me. And if there had been any man ever that the devil could have stopped him from falling at Jesus' feet and worshiping, it would have been this man. Couldn't stop him. You know he tried. The man just fell on his face in his presence. Here's what the Spirit of God wanted you to see for today. Jesus healed him and delivered him that quick. Demons and all had to go.
What is the truth about God's healing? Is it for everyone? The Bible is clear. God's will has been, is now, and always will be for His people to be well. The Truth About Healing Package, two books by Gloria Copeland, will help you understand who you are in Christ and why that puts you in position to live healed and whole. Settle the issue once and for all that healing belongs to you in the book, God's Will is Your Healing. Sickness and disease have no right to stay in you. The mini book, Don't Buy the Lie, uncovers Satan's attempts to try to keep you from experiencing the health and freedom Jesus paid for you to have. Take hold of the revelation that God wants you well. Exercise your authority, knowing God's promises are for you. Make use of each of these resources to help you stand strong in the Word. When the world has no answer, you can turn to God's Word for truth. Healing belongs to God's children. It belongs to you. Request the Truth About Healing Package today. Also available as a digital download free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Learn the truth about healing direct from God's Word. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call toll free 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
This is Lori, and she's from Bolivar, Missouri, and her miracle started around a month ago. It was started with the magazine, and then BVOV Network. Faith started coming, and she came, and today she started for the manifestation of her back, her spine, and her thyroid.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Completely brand new spine, because I had degenerative bone disease and arthritis, and he's giving me a brand new thyroid, because I heard Kenneth say, just ask for new parts. So I believed it. I took it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
You've heard of the auto parts store. This is the human parts store. Amen. Well, let's give God praise. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I have healed you and brought up your soul from the grave. I have kept you alive from going down into the pit. Psalm 30:1-2. I will give you strength and bless you with peace.
This is Jana from Lafayette, Louisiana. She had been in the Air Force, and she had battled PTSD, and they lost everything in Hurricane Michael. But she said she came here in the last 24 hours. She has not even taken her medication. And she said there's so much peace she's never felt this way.
Thanks.
Glory. I just wanted to say that, you know, all the doctors, all the medication, nothing. I've never felt the peace that I feel here. Brother Copeland, you're amazing. God has saved me, through everything. And I just am so grateful and thankful to know God today and to be able to share that with my daughter. God is making a way. He is my provider. And it's just amazing. And I love it.
And thank you for your service. Amen.
Praise God.
This is Rhonda from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm going to let her tell you what's going on with her.
Rhonda. 10 months ago, I fell 12 feet off of a ladder and shattered my whole entire left arm. I have a prosthetic elbow. They had to do reconstructive surgery, 15 pins, 2 plates, and the shoulder was totally shattered as well. I am scheduled to have shoulder replacement surgery. I came to this conference for my healing, and I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here till I
get it. Hallelujah! Praise God!
I'm able to raise my arm, my shoulder without pain, and I know God is going to continue to heal, even though I may go into surgery, but I'm expecting God to perform the great miracle on this shoulder.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God! Glory to God!
Glory to God! Hallelujah!
The eyes of the blind shall be, eyes are being healed. Take it right now, glory to God.
We have Dana from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. She had a rupture in her left eye that left her completely blind, she said, but while the word was going forth, it just popped open and she's seeing perfectly.
Oh, praise God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
About a week ago, I woke up one morning and couldn't see out of it. We'd already had this plan, and so when we were sitting over there and the word was coming forth, I said, well, I shouldn't have to have anything done to my eye. And all of a sudden, it just cleared up, and I could see out of it.
You know, Jesus is the source of health and wholeness. And did you see them when they hooked into His power in His life and they took that deep breath, they could breathe from the very bottom of their lungs and just their body was at peace to breathe. And you know, our spiritual heart is so much like our physical heart or our lungs. When they're not working, it's just laborious to live for people when they have that issue. But you know, in our spiritual heart, when it is devoid of Jesus, it's hard to live. It's hard to take that deep breath and just sigh a sigh of relief that somebody's got you, that the Master has you in His hands, whether it's healing or finances or a family or anxiety that you worry and carry that care. You can choose Jesus. You can have Him come in on the inside, and that sheer peace and silence from all the worry will come right in with Him. This all starts by making Him the Lord and Savior of your life. So if you're ready for that, just trust me right here and pray with me and just say, Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me. Come into my heart, take my life and make something out of it, Lord Jesus. I give it to You and I trust You and I put my life, my family, my finances in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, like they did, I want you to just take a big breath. You hear it? All that stuff is just quiet because Jesus is in there now. And it doesn't mean everything's immediately fixed, but He's already started working on it. He's been working on you for a long time to get you to where you are right now today to say, just come on in and help me, Jesus. He loves you so much. So if that was you and you asked Him into your heart, we want to send you this free salvation package. It'll help you get started. It'll tell you what He's done for you and what already belongs to you. You can use these materials even to get others born again. Just go to kcm.org and let us know you met Jesus today. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
If you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, learn more about your new life in Christ. Request your free salvation package at kcm.org/salvation. Keep your faith strong with the Word of God and step into a year of abundant harvest.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. August 29th through 31st, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Midwest Victory Campaign in Southfield, Michigan, USA. September 12th through 14th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Gold Coast Victory Campaign in Queensland, Australia. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.